The holding on Chaf Vav Amud Aleph by the second Mishnah, about the middle of the wide line. We've been talking about the idea of Tumas Ama Oretz, that the Midrabban and the Ame Oretz are Tomei and their clothes are Tomei, but we suspend that during the Yom Tovim. We talk about before Yom Kippur what the reasons for it are, whether it's because in fact whether it's because all of them are Matahar themselves, or that Rebbe talked about the idea because everybody's part of the Tzibur. There's also the idea, like we said earlier, that we don't want everybody to go off and start their own Bais Mikdash and everything, thinking that we don't want to have anything to do with them. Nevertheless, though, we say that the Tumah of Ama Aretz is suspended during Yom Tovim, but after Yom Tov, after the regular is over, the Tumah is still there. The Tumah has been there all along. So after Yom Tov, the fact that the Ama Aretz touched something, now that Tumah takes effect. So therefore, the Mishnah says, HaPaseach es Chavisa, if somebody opens up a barrel, V'hamas Chavisa, or begins a batch of dough, Argav HaRegel, to be used during Yom Tov. So you're talking about, for example, you have a Chavar who owns a store. Suppose he sells wine, for example, so during Yom Tov, during Chol HaMoed, people come to buy wine, and as a matter of course, they sample the wine. That's what you do when you're buying wine in those days. Or similarly, he started a batch of dough, and during Chol HaMoed, people are coming and taking pieces, and then buying parts of the dough to make themselves bread, or maybe taking parts of it to use as a starter, and a sourdough, whatever. So throughout Yom Tov, throughout Chol HaMoed, the Amei Oretz have been touching it. Now, after Yom Tov, can you continue using it and consider it to be tahor? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmar, V'Chachamim Lo Yigmar. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, you can finish it off. The Chachamim say no. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you can? Because we learned in Beitza that this is one of three examples where we say he tirus soifen mishum tchilasan. That the Chachamim felt if you ask for him to do the end thing, he's not going to do the beginning thing as well. And then therefore, we had an example of that in Beitza. For example, we have the case over there of the box like stores which had a covering to close up the entrance to the store that would be put on, that would be taken off and used as a counter and then put back on to close up the store. If you don't allow him to put it back on Yom Tov, he's not going to open his store to begin with on Yom Tov, and then people won't be able to get spices for Simchas Yom Tov.
I'm not arguing with these Rabbanan. The principle is from previous Rabbanan.
Well, he's arguing with the Rabbanan of his time.
Of his time, right.
Yes.
That principle,
there is such a principle. It's here to say from Mishum Tchilasan, but the Chachamim would say it doesn't apply in this case, and Rabbi Yehuda would say it does. We had a couple of other examples. So this is an example similarly. If Rabbi Yehuda figures, if you don't allow him to finish up the barrel or the batch of dough, he's not going to want to sell it. He's not going to want to start selling it in the first place, and then therefore there won't be food available for the people.
Isn't that a stira to the Rabbanan to say, on the one hand, the tumor comes back, and on the other hand,
Rabbi Yehuda is hey mamru. Rabbi Yehuda is saying yes, the tumah comes back, but the chachamim suspend the coming back of that tumah until he finishes the batch.
The whole thing's with Rabbanan,
right? So yeah, it's called hey mamru. The same Rabbanan who say the gzera in the first place are allowed to make variations in cases. Yeah. So Gemara says Yosef Rab Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha Kilo de Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha. Rab Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha were sitting by the house, or Kilo means like the front porch or something, of Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha. One of them started speaking, and he said, we're saying, according to the Chachamim, you can't finish up the barrel of wine. You have to consider at this point it's Tomei because Amei Aretz have been touching it. Would the Chavar be allowed to put away that same barrel until the next Yom Tov and continue selling it as Tahar? The same principle as we said the other day, that the Amei Aretz who brings a barrel of wine to the Chavar of Truma out of season, you can't accept it from him, but you can tell the Amei Aretz, take it back home, wait till next Yom Tov, and then bring it to me. So the other one answers him, what do you mean? Yadako Mashmishin, but everybody was touching it throughout Yom Tov. You're telling me you think you should leave it for another Yom Tov? How is that possible? I mean, Mela, by the other case, fine. You know, not necessarily. As Ama Oretz actually touched the wine when he wasn't Tahor, because they are careful not to drink. They know not to drink the truma. They know it's not for them.
What's the problem? The during Yom Tov was butter.
Yeah.
So why can't
after
fire
Yom Tov? After Yom Tov.
No, he wants it to live to the next Yom Tov, right?
Right.
And meanwhile, nobody's touching anything.
But he's saying, meanwhile, during Yom Tov, people have been touching
it. But it was butter, according to Rabban, it was butter.
But that's what we're saying, though, that now after Yom Tov.
Why should be any problem now?
Because now after Yom Tov, it's Tomei.
You mean Lamafre?
Lamafre, yeah. Yeah. So, Rashi, by the way, mentioned two possibilities.
During the Yom Tov was Torah. And the same thing, all of a sudden the Yom Tov stops, nobody touches.
Yeah, well, the same way as we said. The Gemara previously said similar things. We have similar things that, for example, a person who's selling pots, if he's inside the 15 mil from Yerushalayim, within the city of Modi'in, and anywhere from there to Yerushalayim, you're allowed to buy the pots from him. We can throw him Torah. He leaves Modi'in, or even sometimes he's in the city, all of a sudden they're Tomei. Rashi brings, by the way, two possibilities what we mean over here. One is we're talking the storekeeper is a chaver, and a chaver is not allowed to sell food that's tamei, even if it's chulin, he's not allowed to sell food that's tamei, and here we consider it tamei. Or Rashi says that some people wanted to say that we're talking about that the storekeeper is an amaretz. But Rashi says, I mean, how is that possible? Why would you tell an amaretz that stuff is tamei? He's not going to listen to you. Amalei, so the other one, the first, the one who asked the original question, it says back, Hachi Hashta, how could you think to compare? Bishleim Ada Idna Tuma Sama Artis Beregel Rahmana Tara. Sorry, I skipped the line. Amalei, so the first one tells him, Otu Ada Idna Lav Yabakom Machmashinba. So what? During Yom Tov itself, everybody's been touching it, and yet you're saying it to her. So what's the problem? So why would it be a problem after Yom Tov? Amalei, so the second one answers him, Hachi Hashta, how could you think, give him a Gemara, please. How could you think to compare this? This is Baba Kama. How could you think to compare those two? Bishleim ad ha'idna tumasama aretz beragor rachmanat hara. Up until now, yes, everybody was touching it, but fine. The Torah implies that tumasama aretz is tahor beragor. The whole thing is dinabanan, but there is a pasuk that implies it. We had last time of isha chad chaverim, that when everybody's gathering for Yom Tov, then everybody's considered chaverim. So fine. So at least, during Yom Tov, yes, the Amei Aretz have been touching it, but that doesn't matter. Ela Hashta Tmei, but now after Yom Tov, the Tumah takes effect. So yeah, there is a big difference between during Yom Tov and after Yom Tov. That's it. The Gemara says, name a Ketanoi. Can we say that this is actually Machalikas Tanoi?
It was interesting. It becomes Tumah, even nobody touched it.
No. If no Amei Aretz had touched it during the regal, then of course there's not a problem. We're talking about during Yom Tov, the Amei Aretz has been touching it. Now, after Yom Tov, the Tumah takes effect. The Tumah comes into effect. Yeah.
Not during Yom Tov.
But during the Yom Tov, you said that Amei Aretz are tovar.
But only during Yom Tov. As soon as Yom Tov is over.
There was a problem. No. During the Yom Tov, Amei Aretz is the
Tumah. But that's what we're saying.
Then why should Tumah apply?
Because the Tumah is there. We just don't allow it to take effect. It's suspended.
Suspended.
Yeah. So, but Tumah.
Right.
Even during the Yom Tov, he's Tumah.
But we don't allow that Tumah to take effect. Yeah, that's what it is.
Then how it slides down on after Yom Tov, I don't see.
Because it was there all along. We just didn't allow it to start.
We're holding it back.
Yeah, we're holding it back, yeah.
Yom Tov is
there. Okay, so it's like, it's almost there, but after Yom Tov, it's how.
So he was the name of Ketanoi. Can we say that this is actually like a machalik as Tanoim? The Tani Chodi Yanichena L'Regel Acher. One Braita says that you're allowed to leave the barrel over for next Yom Tov. V'Tani Yidachlo Yanichena L'Regel Acher. And another Braita says you can't. My La Tanoi. So L'Chora, that seems to be a machalik as Tanoim. This argument between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha seems to be a machalik as Tanoim. The Gemara says, what would it be? My love Tanoi. So wouldn't you say it's Machalik Tanoi? Gemara says, Loi. Ha de Katani Yani Chener Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa that says you can leave it over for next Yom Tov is according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who said Yigmar. Ha de Katani Yani Chener Rabbanam. The one who says you can't leave it over would be according to the Rabbanam. But still, but you don't have anybody clearly saying yet that you according to the Rabbanam. The whole question was according to the Rabbanam, can you leave it over for another Yom Tov? The second Braisa that says Lo Yani Chener would be according to the Rabbanam. So then you can't leave it over. That would answer the question. The Gemara says, wait a minute, Batisbara, how could you think that? Rabbi Yehuda Yigmar Kama. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say you have to leave it over for the next Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda says you can use it up right after the current Yom Tov. You use it up until right after the current Yom Tov, we wait for the Tumah to be chal on it until the barrel is empty. So according to him, you don't need any chena. Ella, so do you right. The Braisa that says that you shouldn't leave it over, you don't have to leave it over, that's the question. In other words, neither of them seems to go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Certainly not Yani Chena, you should have to leave it over, because according to him, you don't have to leave it over. And what Lo Yani Chena, what would that mean? Lo Yani Chena, you shouldn't leave it over, according to him, you don't need to leave it. That's exactly the answer. The Braisa that says that he does not leave it over, not he should not, but he does not, leave it over is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Varikan yanichene rabbanon. And the one that says yanichene would be according to the rabbanon. Umay lo yanichene. So what would the first brayz? What would the second brayz mean? Lo yanichene means shein tzorich lahanicha. It doesn't mean he can't leave it over. It means according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't have to because he can use it right there on the spot. Whereas the Chachamim would say, you can't use it on the spot, once Yomtiv is over, Tumas HaMaharet is Chal, but we will allow you to leave it to the next Yomtiv. Having said that, though, the Meiri and apparently also the Rambam seem to have a different Girsa in the Gemara over here, because in fact the Rambam paskins that according to that the Halacha is like the Chachamim of our Mishnah, that say, Lo Yigmar, you're not allowed to leave, you're not allowed to use it, and you're not allowed to save it for the next Yomtiv either. Mishnah says,
So it becomes Tomer.
So it's Tomer, that's it.
I guess you have to burn it.
You have to burn it, or yeah, you can, yeah. Maybe, yeah. There's not much you can do with it, yeah. I guess what the Chachamim figure is, in that case, size things appropriately. You know, don't open a gigantic barrel, you know, open a smaller one in that way,
you know. It depends on whatever, if it's regular food. We're not speaking about a kosher, right?
No, we're talking about regular food, yeah.
So then the guy who is Tomer could eat it.
That's true, the cover himself can keep it around to eat it, but Tomer, that may be true, yeah. Then fine, the Baal Ma'aretz hasn't touched it. Then you could do that too, yeah. Continuing on this theme of the Tumas HaMa'aretz being suspended during the regal, Misha Ober HaRegel, after each regal is over, Ma'avir Nataras HaZara. They move around, Ma'avir in Miyashi says means they move around the Kalim from their places for the Tahara of the Azara, because as the next missionary is going to explain, they had to toivel all the Kalim of the Beis Mikdash after the regal. During the regal, you have all the people coming to the Beis Mikdash for Aliyah the regal, including the Amei Aretz. They're touching they may be touching the various kelim, as we'll talk about in the Gemara on Amud Beis.
Some kelim are accessible only by calling him Levi.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But besides that, one second. Even the kelim can be Amei Aretz as well. Yeah. So after Yom Tov, they have to total all of that.
And serving the Beis
Mikdash. No, not necessarily would they serve in the Beis Mikdash, but they could still be there. They're still going to be there for Aliyah Regel. Over a regular Yom Shishi, if Yom Tov ends on Friday, meaning it ended Thursday night, Loi Hayom Avirin with Nekved Shabbos, then they don't do this Tahara on Friday because of Kavod Shabbos. They're too busy getting ready for Shabbos, so they delay the cleanup until Sunday, and therefore we still consider the Kalim to be Tahara over Shabbos. This Tumas HaMa'aretz again, even though normally it would expire at the end of Yom Tov, in this case we let it go until Motzei Shabbos, until Sunday morning.
No, because this year,
when Yom Tov comes into, when Yom Tov goes into Shabbos, of course, there's no question, you can't toivel the Kalim on Shabbos. We're talking about Yom Tov ends Thursday night. Let's say, for example, imagine there was only one day Rosh Hashanah, or for example, no, there's only one day Sukkot. Yeah, there's one day between Yom Tov and Shabbos, but still, yeah.
So, well, the entering the Mikdash with Tumah is a big problem.
No, they're Tahar. They made themselves Tahar, but they're still the Tumas HaMa'aretz.
I see. There's a different kind of Tumah, and with this Tumah you could end.
Rabbi Yehuda, I'm actually B'yom Hei. Also, not if Yom Tov ends on Wednesday night. Then you don't toivel the kelim until after Shabbos. Sheina koyinim pnuyim, because the koyinim are not free. And the Gemara says Tana. What does that mean? Sheina koyinim pnuyim nilhoitzi b'deshin. The koyinim are not free on Motzei Yom Tov because they're too busy taking out all the ashes. Usually, throughout Yom Tov, there's a lot of korbanos being brought. So the pile of ashes on the middle of the mizbeach called the takuach gets bigger. No, it's not a matter of mukta. But during Yom Tov, they dafka want to leave these ashes on the mizbeach because it's a beautiful thing for the mizbeach to show how many korbanos were brought.
Okay.
So therefore, by the end of Yom Tov, you have this gigantic, by the end of a 7 or 8 day Yom Tov, you have a gigantic pile of ashes on top of the mizbeach. It takes the kohenim a whole day to deal with that. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that so then, for example, so Thursday they're busy with that, Friday they're busy getting ready for Shabbos, and there's no time to toivel all the kelim. So therefore, they delay it till Sunday. So Kate said Ma'avir Natar Azara, last Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so how do they do this moving around the Kalim for the Tara of the Azara? Matbilanat Kalim Shoyib Mikdash. It means they toiled all the Kalim in the Mikdash. But then during the Yom Tov, going back to during the Yom Tov, they would tell the Kohenim or Amei Aretz, he Zoharu, be careful. Shalitigu Bashulchan, that you should not touch the Shulchan. Because if you do, you'll make it Tomei with Tumas HaMa'aretz. And the problem is, the Shulchan has to have the Lechem, has to have the Lechem upon him on it all the time. They're not going to it has to stay Tahar, because otherwise they're going to have, otherwise, you have to, as the Gemara is going to say, it has to be Lechem upon him, Lefanei Tomid. The Lechem upon him has to constantly be on the Shulchan.
So, well,
if the Shulchan is Tomei, they're going to have to table it.
So, Was it one of the nisim?
That's in Pirkei Avos. It does say that one of the nisim in the Beis Mikdash was that the lachem upon him was never nifsal, which means that it never happened. I mean, there's a lot of ways it can become possible. Actually, it can become tamei accidentally by something touching it. It can happen that one of the 12 loaves breaks. And remember, they had a very complicated shape. That would also make it possible.
Possible, but not
tamei. No, I'm saying there's two. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos there says that the lo nimtza pisul ba'omer over shtei lachem over lachem upon him. So there was nothing that ever made it possible in any way. None of them ever broke. None of them ever became tamei. And in this case, so they still made sure, because even with all these nisim, you have to do whatever's possible. Derech hateva, so you tell the kohenim amei aretz, be careful not to touch the shulchan. And not only the kohenim, actually, according to the Rambam, even the Yisraelim. How are the Yisraelim getting anywhere near the shulchan? Oh, hello. We'll talk about it in the Gemara. Having said that, it is possible that sometimes the shulchan became tamei. The Gemara, we learned in Pesachim, the Gemara had mentioned briefly over there the fact that it could happen that the shulchan needs to be toveled. It could happen that the shulchan needs to be toveled because besides for tumas hamaaretz, there's many other possible tumas. But so that's the thing. So the reason why the Gemara mentions it in Pesachim is because the Gemara is discussing over there the size of a mikveh that has to be 3x1x1 amas, and the Gemara says over there, given that the shulchan itself was an amma, where it was an amma wide, necessarily the Gemara starts by saying over there the shulchan must have been made out of pieces. The tabletop could be taken apart into a few pieces, otherwise how are you going to fit into the mikveh? And the Gemara says not necessarily, but whatever.
The mikveh couldn't be bigger than that.
But no, it is that. But that's the minimum size of a mikveh, and the Gemara assumed to begin with that's the size. Well, love to ask though.
Originally, when they made the kiln, they didn't come to the star.
And they hadn't yet made the gzera about. They hadn't yet made all these gzeras of all these milus lakodesh yet. Yeah.
Years back, they used to kill beds or something. So I had the mat and mikveh are very long.
Thin. That may also be. Yeah. Kol ha-kelim shoyu b'mikdash, continues the Mishnah, all the kelim that were in the Beis Mikdash, yeshnaim shniyim u'shlishim, they had second and third copies, they had spares. Shem nitmu or shenim, if you shniyim tachteim. So this way, if the original ones become tomei, then they can use the spare one. They kept them, and they had rooms all around the Beis Mikdash. If you look in the, I don't know why they took down the diagram of the Beis Mikdash that was here, but if you look in the building, in the Hechel building, around the Kurdish and around the Kurdish HaKadoshim, you have a bunch of small rooms. You had 11 on the first floor, 11 on the second floor, 11 on the third floor, whatever. There's different arrangements in the second and third Beis Mikdash, but whatever. Among other things, they could use these rooms for storage of these kinds of things. Kol ha-kelim shoyu b'mikdash tonin tevilah, and all the kelim in the Beis Mikdash indeed needed to be tovled, as we said, because the amei aretz may have touched them. Chutz mimizbeach hazahav u'mizbeach hanachoshech, except for the two mizbeaches, the golden mizbeach and the copper mizbeach, mipnei shein kekarka, because they're considered like the ground, as we'll talk about in the Gemara. Now, what do we mean by the way about the copper mizbeach? I mean, in the Beis Mikdash, they had a mizbeach that was built into the ground, that was made out of stone. It was made out of actually concrete, the way the Gemara describes it, and then faced with stone. So what kind of mizbeach hanachoshes? So the Tosfos Yom Tov says, okay, the original mizbeach hanachoshes that Moshe made, we're talking about in the original Mishkan, if it were to happen in one of the later Batei Mikdash, that they made one out of copper at some point, or he says maybe even it could happen in the third Beis Mikdash, they'll make the mizbeach out of copper, out of wood plated with copper again, instead of built.
The mizbeach was placed on the ground, or it went below the ground?
No, it was placed on the ground. In the Mishkan, what they did is, when the Pasuk says, mizbeach adoma tassali, that has to be a mizbeach of earth, what they used to do is, the mizbeach was made out of wood, it was plated with copper, the inside of it was hollow, the nevuv lochay tassai, say. So they would heap up a pile of dirt, 5x5x3 am, by 10 amas, or whatever the size of the mizbeach were. There was a few different opinions in the Sefer Zvachim, and then they'd stick the mizbeach on top of that. In the Beis Mikdash, it was built as a permanent structure. Yeah. So here we're talking about the mizbeach and a choshes. So either it means that the mizbeach of Moshe's time, if they had it in one of the later Batei Mikdash, or it means that theoretically,
maybe this is still called the.
No, because the one that's built into the ground wouldn't be Makabal Truma anyway. It's like a building is not Makabal Truma. It has to be a Kaila, yeah. The Chachamim say, because they're plated. The Mizbeach Nechoshes is plated with copper, the Mizbeach Azov is plated with gold. Now, what do they mean, because we're plated? We'll talk about that towards the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana. We learn in a Braisa, it wasn't just the Shulchan they would warn the Kohenim Amei Aretz to stay away from. Hizaru Shema Tigu B'Shulchan over Menorah, they would also warn them to stay away from the Menorah. The question is, v'tanu d'idan mai taima l'tanu minoda? Nu, why doesn't Tana of our Mishnah? Now, in some printed Mishnayos, you can find the word of Aminoda in there, based on this Braisa, but it's obviously from our Gemara, that's not really correct. The answer is, shulchan k'sib b'tamid, minoda like k'sib b'tamid, because the shulchan, the Torah says, you have to have on it, lechem ponim l'fonai tamid. The minoda doesn't say tamid. Now, it does say tamid by the minoda, actually. What's the lashon over there? Tomid me'erev ad boiker. In Parshas Kisei, in Kisava, it doesn't say tamid, but in Emor, when it talks about the menorah right after the Parshas Amoedus, it uses the word tamid there.
Yeah.
But what do we mean by tamid there? The difference is, Rashi and Tosfos both talk about, the idea is, the menorah, when we say tamid, just means it has to be lit every day, or actually every evening, right. every afternoon. According to the Rambam, also every morning, but still, it didn't constantly have to be burning 24-7, necessarily. Well, now, you did have, there was the Nes, right, the Ner Ma'arovi was burning all the time, but it didn't have to be that way in order to be yod to the mitzvah. It just had to be lit every evening, and according to the Rambam, also every morning, and that's it. So, at some point, the lights could all be out, and you'd be able to tovel it. Mashenk in the Shulchan, when it says, Lechem Ponim Lefanai Tamid, according to the Tana over here, at least, it means the Lechem always had to be on it. There is actually a different opinion in Menachos. I think Rabbi Yosi Bibi Hoda says over there that Lav Davka, you could have, but the Shulchan could be without Lechem upon him for a while and it wouldn't be a problem. So according to him, you don't have an issue, but according to everybody else, yeah.
Why do we say that Tamid means just because it's up in the evening?
The Tamid doesn't mean the same way as the Korban Tamid is not being brought constantly, right? But it's every day.
It's every day.
Okay, so this is also every day, no? That's the difference. That's the difference.
No.
The Idach knew what would the Braise answer to that. Kivin dechtib, as a menorah, noichach ha-shulchan. Okay, but the Pasuk says the menorah should be opposite the shulchan. Come on, dechtib ba-tamid dami. So when it says opposite, means as long as the shulchan's there, you have to have the menorah opposite it during its function. Right. So it means, therefore, if the shulchan has to constantly have lechem on it, the menorah constantly has to have lights on it. The Idach and our Tana of our Mishnah would answer back, no, the Pasuk is telling us, you have to know where the menorah goes. You should know it goes opposite the Shulchan, on the other side of the Mishkan, or the Beis Mikdash. And actually it goes the same distance away from the wall, etc. But not necessarily anything about that as long as the Shulchan is functioning, the menorah has to be functioning too. Now the Gemara asks a question like this. Different opinions.
Yeah.
It could also be that the two Tanoim are arguing about the machlokas of the Rishonim, whether the menorah has to be lit by day. Maybe the Rambam would hold more according to the Braisa over here, that the menorah has to be constantly lit, whereas the Tana of the Mishnah would hold more like the other Rishonim would say they're not. I don't know. Okay. Now, getting back for a minute to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. One of the concepts in Tumah V'Tahara is clay eight, wooden kalim. There's certain rules to them. Not just any wooden keli can be tummy. Can become tummy. We've had a few times the concept that a wooden keli has to be a kli kibble. It has to be something that's able to hold things inside it, like a spoon or something. It can't be just a flat board. So, okay, in the case of the shulchan, the Gemara discusses in Menachos, the Pasuk says that the shulchan had a ledge around it. The Gemara Menachos there, whether this rim went around the bottom of the table, under the tabletop or on top of it?
It's going to be on top.
What?
No,
but the Gemara discusses it over there because it's called, I forget the term the Gemara uses for it over there, I think it's called mishapich or something, but basically it should be turned over and used the other way. Given that it has a rim around it, a tefach tol, you could either use it with the flat side on top, or you'd be able to flip it over and use it with the rim on top. Therefore, for that reason, it should be makabel tumah. But that is a different. There's a different detail. When the Torah talks about that wooden kalim can become tameh, it mentions them in the same pasuk as a sack, which means a sack. I once heard a joke, by the way, that the last thing that anybody asked their friend for by the tower above was a sack, and that is why the word for sack is the same in so many different languages. Anyway. So, here we see it's the same word sack in Hebrew and in English. Anyway, a sack is something you carry it around empty and you can carry it around full. So in order to be makabel tumah, a wooden keli has to be the same thing. It's something you carry around both empty and full. Where do we ever find that the Shulchan is carried around full? Where do we find it's carried around Bechlal? You put it in the Mishkan, you put it in the Beth Mikdash, and that's it. It stays in place. Which, okay, Tosfos points out. Now, Tosfos points out, okay, it was carried around in the Mishkan. We'll get to that. That's what the Gemara is going to answer. We learned it in Yom briefly. Here, the Gemara is going to discuss it again. Yeah, because, yeah. But right now, the Havah, I mean, they never picked it up. Now, Tosfos says, okay, they did pick it up. They carried it around for the Mishkan. But okay, you know, I mean, they carried it together with all the other Kalim. It's not really something of its own. And Menachos, the Gemara, in Menachos, Tosfos answers that also it has a Kavur Dika place for it. Its place is in the Mishkan. The fact that the Mishkan itself is being transported from one place to another is neither here nor there. So the question is, typically, the Kli Eitz are also L'Nachasu. Why do we need to say that you can't touch the Shulchan, you'll make it Tomei, and we can't Tovel it? Why should it become Tomei? It's a wooden keli, ha'osu l'nachas, that's made to be left in one place permanently. V'chol kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas l'imitame. And any kli eitz that's made to be left in one place permanently is not mekabel tumah. The Rambam says, actually, this is a general rule. Any kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas. The Ravid argues on that and says, no, only if it's, like this, in this case, it's exeris ha'kosuv, except for the exception that you just mentioned about them picking it up and showing it to the people. It's exeris ha'kosuv that has to stay in one place. But otherwise, if you just have, for example, according to the Ravid, a heavy table that you don't ever move just because it's heavy, that wouldn't necessarily apply. There's no din preventing you from moving. Anyway. My time, a drum is a sack brain, and because a kli eitz, in order to be makabel tumah, has to be like a sack. Ma sack metalta molavereikam, just like a sack can be carried both empty and full, well, full and empty, afkol metalta molavereikam. So a wooden keli also has to be able to be carried full and empty. The answer is, like you said, hainami metalta molavereikam, the shulchan is indeed carried both full and empty. Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish says, Dama Rish Lakish, my dichtiv ala shulchan atahar, what does it mean, the pasuk calls the shulchan the pure shulchan, the shulchan which is tahar, Mekal show Tomei, saying that it's Tahor implies that it's able to become Tomei. And again, you have to ask, Vamai creates also the Nachasu Reina Mekabel Tumah. So the fact that the Pasuk itself implies that it's able to be Mekabel Tumah implies that there's a time when it is picked up. Ela, Malamet Shemagbiyano. So this teaches us that the Kohenim would pick it up, or Marin Bola Ola Regolim, Lachem upon him. They would show to the Ola Regol the Lachem upon him on it, Va'omrim Lahem, and they would tell them, Ru'uchi Baschem, Lifnei Amokam, look how precious you are in front of the Eveshter, Siluka Kisidurai, that the Lachem is taken off the Shulchan just as fresh and just as hot as when it was put on. Actually, Tosfos says maybe not necessarily hot, but if they break, they baked it on Friday. By the time they put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, it wasn't necessarily hot, but it was fresh. When they took it off a week later, it was still fresh. Some Mepharshim say that, yeah, you could see the steam coming up from it. The other Mepharshim, the Radvaz, for example, doesn't really like that. He says even nowadays when you take bread out of the oven, you don't necessarily see steam rising from it. Yeah. But it's the fact that they could see that it's fresh. Or the Radvaz actually says more along the lines of they could see, you know, it's the same lechem that they're seeing, and a little while later they see that very same lechem being cut up and distributed among the Kohanim. So you know already that they, you know already it's fresh.
That was a whole week.
Yeah, it was sitting on there a whole week. It was baked Friday of 1 week and eaten on Shabbos the next week. Yeah. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Losum lachem choim b'yom hilachay." The pasuk says to put bread on the shulchan which is hot on the day it's taken off. So we see from there this next that the lachem upon him stayed fresh for a week. So therefore they lifted the shulchan to show everybody they're carrying the shulchan with the lachem upon him on it. So therefore, yes, it's metaltum olaver eikon. Now, who were they showing it to? Some Mepharshim just say they were showing it to the Kohenim. They didn't actually take it out of the Heichel. But they would. Any Kohenim could come into the Heichel and see this. So therefore, you have to warn them not to touch it. So you'd have to be careful calling the Kohenim Chaverim are lifting it up. And you'd have to be careful the Kohenim Amei Aretz don't touch it. The Rambam says that actually they'd bring it out of the Heichel and show it to everybody in the Azara. They wouldn't carry it around the Azara necessarily, but at least they'd hold it by the door of the Heichel and show everybody. So yeah, it's whatever, in a place where Yisraelim conceivably could reach it.
It was a heavy table?
I don't know. I mean,
look at the picture. It was pretty big.
It was big, yeah.
It was pretty big. Yeah.
It was pretty big. I don't know if it was. It was made out of wood. It was plated with gold. So I don't know how heavy.
Oh, wood. That's
yeah. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, but typically mishum tzipui. Okay. I have a different reason actually that it should be makabel tumah. What do we even need all of that for? Shouldn't it be makabel tumah mishum tzipui? Because it's plated with gold.
Yeah.
And gold metal is makabel tumah, whether it's also the naches or not. There's no rules about that.
Why should it be important what's inside, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What's
the outside? Yeah. Dehatnan, we learn in a Mishnah. I'll tell you afterwards, the Rambam has a different shita. The Rambam learns this Gemara pretty much the opposite way of how we're going to learn it now. But let's start with how Rashi learns it, and also the Ravid. The Ravid argues with the Rambam on this, as he often does. So we learn in a Mishnah and Caleb, a shulchan va dulpaki shenichasu, a table or a side table. Rashi says actually that a dulpaki is kind of like a folding chair shenichasu that the part of them caved in, or shechipan b'shayish, or you plated the whole top of the table with marble. The marble is not makabel truma, but you didn't place the whole thing, or not the whole thing caved in. V'shir behem makam anachas kosis, there's still room on the tabletop, there's still the actual bare wood on the tabletop, enough to put cups on. Tome, then it's still makabel truma. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have a bigger area, you have to have enough place to be able to put down pieces of bread and meat. The point is, so what are we saying then? That if so we're saying that if you plated the whole thing with marble, we say even though underneath the tabletop underneath is wood, it's not makabel truma anymore, because the marble is not makabel truma, and you go according to that. Halachas kama v'kama. Then if you plate it with gold, by the same logic, gold is makabel truma, so you go according to the plating, and it should be makabel truma.
Marble is stone.
Yeah, stone is right. V'chi tema, you might answer, shiny atashitim dechashivi v'lebatli. You might answer, okay, but it's different. The shulchan wasn't just made out of any old wood that you buy in Home Depot. It was made out of atashitim. It's expensive stuff. So maybe it shouldn't be bottled. Maybe it shouldn't be bottled to the gold. The problem with that is, hanicha l'Rish Lakish. That works out according to Rish Lakish. D'amar l'shono el b'klei aksulagim abayim min dinas hayam. Rish Lakish says that you're right. This Mishnah in Kalim is only talking about Kalim of Aksalagim. I'll explain in a second what that is. That come from the Dinas Hayam, that come from cities near the coast. Avol b'klei masmim loy batli, but Kalim of masmim are not bottle. Shaper, then it's good. Aksalagim and masmim are two different kinds of wood. Tosfos says that maybe Aksalagim is the name of a place where these come from. I've seen different possible other explanations. I've seen some people who think that the first part of axolagim is like the Greek word xylo, like in xylophone and other such words. It means wood. So then axolagim would be like plain wood, and masmim would be a more expensive kind of wood. Whatever it is, whatever exactly the explanation is, the basic idea is, according to Rish Lakish, there's a difference. If the tabletop is made out of plain wood, then yes, plating it with, then yes, if you cover it with marble, then now it's considered a marble table. But if it was made out of expensive wood, even if you covered it with marble, it's still considered a wooden keli, and it still follows the dinim of wooden kelim. So then fine.
So therefore,
we could say that, yes, we could say atashitim are considered important wood. So yes, even though you plate it with gold, it still doesn't have the din of a gold keli. It has the din still of a wooden keli. Why is it makabel truma? So then we're back to, you would think it should not be makabel truma because it's osil anachas, because it's made to stay in one place, but no, it's makabel truma because they lift it up and show it to the early rebbe. So good. Elo Rabbi Yechanan, do Amar Filip claim masmim now? Because the lachem upon him is on it when they pick it up. Elo Rabbi Yechanan, do Amar Filip claim masmim now? But according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that even if it's masmim, even if it's expensive wood, then it's also bottle. Some people say, by the way, that masmim is like ebony, is a very, very hard, heavy, like mahogany, but even more expensive. It's a very expensive kind of wood. Yeah. Michael Amemba, then what are you gonna say? According to him, there's no way why should a keli? So again, we're back to the question. The shulchan is plated with gold. It would be makabel truma on that basis alone because of the gold. V'chi tema, and you might answer kan betzipu oimid kan betzipu she'ena oimid. So maybe you could say another answer. There's a difference between whether the plating is nailed on or whether it's not. You could say, maybe, for example, maybe you would argue that with the table that you covered with marble, maybe you nailed it, or otherwise, you know, you otherwise attached the marble to it. Whereas in the case of the shulchan, maybe you would argue that the plating is just on top of it, just like gold leaf or whatever, but not. It could be pulled off. Yeah. Maybe if it could be pulled off, then you're right. Maybe it's not considered a gold table. Maybe it's still considered a wooden table. Tosfos gives another possibility that oimid could mean that the plating is able to stand on its own. A piece of marble is strong enough that you could take it off the table and it would hold up on its own if you put it on legs. Whereas maybe the plating of the gold plating of the shulchan was just like a very thin gold leaf, it wouldn't stand on its own. It would bend. Can't be. Because we find that Rish Lakish after Rabbi Yechanan, what's the din? When we say that the plating makes the table be makabel truma, but sipri oimid, but sipri she'ena oimid. Are we talking about plating that's able, that's attached to the table, or that's able to stand on its own, or not? also b'chopes levizvazov, b'shein b'chopes levizvazov. Does it apply when the only when the plating also covers the rim around the table? Like we said, if you have a table that has a rim around the edge of it, like kids' tables, you know, to prevent spilling, to prevent spills from going off, would the coating have to also cover the rim for it to be makabel truma? Or is it even if it doesn't cover the rim? But Amalei and Rabbi Yechanan answered him, doesn't matter the thickness or how the plating is attached, doesn't matter whether it covers the rim or not. Either way, a table that's plated with marble is not makabel truma, and by assumption, a table that's plated with gold is makabel truma. You're still back to the question, then, why do we have to go through this whole thing about the table having to be picked up to say that, therefore, it's makabel truma? It's makabel truma because of the plating.
Whatever gold was in any way gold was connected, it's makabel truma.
It's makabel truma. In any case, even if it's not nailed on, even if it's a thin gold leaf, even if it doesn't cover the rim, yeah.
Mitzad
is gold. Mitzad the gold.
Because of the golden table.
Yeah.
So you know the case is because of the gold table.
Now, having said that, actually, as I said, the Rambam has an exactly opposite shitta. The Rambam's shitta is, on the contrary, a table that's plated is not makabel truma. So he learns, so that's how he learns our Gemara over here. He learns that the comparison with the table that was coated, that was covered with marble, is the same way as that table is not makabel truma because of the marble. So also, a table that's plated with gold is also not makabel truma.
Unless it's a kliyeta, in other words, we still consider it
to be basically a wooden keli.
Marble gold is not.
No, but this is how the Rambam learns, and he learns also a piece a little later, in the same vein. We'll get there.
So the sipui is accessory, really.
Yeah. Basically, that's how the Rambam learns it. Yeah. Ella, so no, shiny shulchan de rachmona kauya eight. The difference is, in the case of the Shulchan, even though it's plated with gold, we still don't consider it a gold keli. We still consider it wood, and therefore, according to going back to Rashi's Shitta now, it will not be makabel truma because of the gold. Because the Pasuk specifically calls it wood. Dichtiv, because of the Pasuk in Yechezkel, when he described in the third Beis Hamikdash, HaMizbeach ate, the Mizbeach was made out of wood, Sholish Am, now why are we talking about the Mizbeach? We're talking about the Shulchan, then we'll get to that in a second.
Even after it's plated, in
other words. Right, yeah. Sholish amas goiva, it's three amas tall. Va'orka shtayim amas, its length is two amas. Umikzois of loy, its corners are of it, meaning they're made out of the same material as it. Va'orka v'kirois of eight, the length of it and the sides of it are wood. Va'yedaber elai zeh shochan ha'shalofnei Hashem. This is where we get the pasuk from that we say by my macharonim. And he spoke to me. The malach was showing Yechezkel around. Says to me, this is the shochan that is before Hashem. So since it finishes off with the Shulchan, and it started off by describing it as eight, then we see it's called wood, even though it's plated with gold. The question is, though, Pasuk v'mizbeach, see it b'Shulchan, or where the Pasuk is starting off by describing the Mizbeach, and then it finishes off with the Shulchan. What does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Da'amit Havayu, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Mizbeach Mechaper. Adam, it teaches us that as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing, the Mizbeach is Mechaper for a person. Achsha, but nowadays, there's no Beis HaMikdash, Shulchanish Adam Mechaper. A person's table is Mechaper for him. How so? Rashi says, because he does achnasas orchim on it. You do achnasas orchim by your table, then your table is mechaper for you. Tosfos mentions the idea gdoila legima shemakarevas, giving people food and drink around your table, even if it's not a specifically achnasas orchim, is a great thing. It promotes avas Yisrael. There's also a mime.
That's why
the pasuk starts with mizbeach and finishes with shulchan. But there's a mimer of the Rebbe Maharash part of the Hemshech Masazu where he starts off the mimer with this pasuk, and he explains that basically the mizbeach in those days and the shulchan nowadays also accomplish the same thing in another way. What do you do on the mizbeach? You bring a carbon where the fire burns up the gashmius of it and the ruchnius of it goes up lamaila and nourishes the chayis hakodesh up there. Talked about it the other day in Tanya, how the chayis hakodesh get tremendous pleasure from the neshamas of the animals that are offered as korbanos. So it is also at a person's table. A person eats as part of avodas habirurim to take the food and be mevarer then be mevarer the kedusha in it, then also you're accomplishing the same thing. That's mechaper all of in the same way as the mizbeach was with the korbanos. No, you have to be eating l'shem shemayim. You're not just eating your food, your stomach. You're eating in order to have energy for avodas Hashem. The Alter Rebbe talks about that in Perek Zayin of Tanya.
They mentioned that the question from Talmud was that they didn't have a chance to eat meat yet.
Right. Yeah, that was the other day also in Tanya, right? So there's the idea that the person can be eating, there are, by the way, a couple of things in halacha that come from this connection of the table to the mizbeach. This is one reason why we're supposed to have salt on the table, just like alkol korban chatakrib melach. You bring salt on all your korbanos, so there has to be salt on the table. It's also the reason why by benching you're supposed to cover the knives except on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Just like the mizbeach, you're not allowed to have iron on it. So also when we're benching at our table, we shouldn't have exposed iron kalim on it.
On the table?
That I've never heard of, but they didn't have Ezev on the mizbeach.
Well, there's not a problem.
I mean, knives in general. There's another reason that's wrote in Shulchan Aruch why not to have knives on the table during benching. Some that happened that somebody.
You cover
them, except on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not necessary. But yeah. The Mishnah said, "Kol haKelim shev mikdash yesh lahem shniim chula," that all the kalim and the mikdash had spares, second and third copies. And we said, except for the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Why? Mizbeach HaNechoshes, why is it not Mekabal Tumah Dichtiv Mizbeach Adoma Ta'asali? Because the Pasuk describes it as a Mizbeach of earth. So that's the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Like I said, they piled up a pile of earth and they stuck the Mizbeach on top of that. And basically, since the same way as we just said with the Shulchan, since the Torah calls it wood, then we ignore the gold. Same thing over here, we ignore the wood and the copper and we just focus on the Adoma, yeah. As far as the Mizbeach HaZahav, because when it talks about at the end of Parashas Bamidbar how they packed up the kelim to travel, it says that they would carry the menorah and the Mizbechos, the two Mizbechos. Ikush Mizbechos, Zelazeh. So it means the Torah is making a hekesh between the two Mizbech. If one of them is not Makabal Tumah, neither is the other.
No,
the Mizbeach HaZahav wasn't made out of earth. The Mizbeach HaZahav was a solid block of wood that was plated with gold.
Okay.
So therefore you need a hekesh to tell us it's not a kabbalah.
That means it's a hekesh, and yeah. Therefore we apply
the
energy to
come
out from one to the other.
Yeah. The specialties.
Then we said, so Rabbi Eliezer had said they're not makabel tumah because they're like karka, because they're like the ground, because we said mizbeach adama tasali. And then the chachamim had said, v'chachamim pnei shein mitzupin, because they're plated.
Azoka was empty inside?
The mizbeach azahav was a solid block.
A solid block of
wood. So what do you mean? What do you mean mipnei shein mitzupin? Adarav, kibin de mitzupin dinu mitamu. On the contrary, we just said in the previous sugya that since they're mitzupin, since they're plated with gold, they should become tummy.
Right.
So what do the chachamim mean mipnei shein mitzupin, therefore they're not makabel tumah? The answer is Ema, v'chachamim matamim p'nei shein mitzupin. You're right. One possible explanation is the Mishnah means the chachamim are not only arguing with Rabbi Yezer on the actual halacha. They say, no, you want to say that the mizbechas are not makabel tumah. We say they are. P'nei shein mitzupin because they're plated with copper and gold, respectively. V'ibayis Ema, or another possibility, Rabbanan l'Rabbi Yezer kamri. It's not, the Rabbanan are answering Rabbi Yezer according to your own shita. They're telling him, "My daitach mishum de mitzupin." What do you think? The fact that they're plated would make them be makabel tumah, and you want to say that not? Nah, therefore, you need that mipnei shein kitarki. You need that mizbeach adoma. You don't even need that. Mikto bottle to kri and gabayu. The plating is bottle to them. So therefore, you don't even need your reason of mizbeach adoma. We have a better reason why they're not makabel tumah. They're wooden kalim. They're osu lenaches. They're not made to be carried around full, unlike the shulchan. For that reason alone, they're not makabel tumah. And again, the Rambam shita over here is the other way around. That Rabbi Eliezer would be the one who says that the plating would make them be makabel tumah. And the Rabbanan are the ones who are saying no. The fact that they're plated, we ignore the fact that they're plated in Nation Mitzupin, but we ignore the plating and focus on the fact that they're made out of wood. The metal is bottled to the wood, right? And the Rebbe talks about in Chelik Tezayim, there's two sichas over there that are parts of a siyum on Masechta Chagiga that the Rebbe made on Chaf Av in Lamed Aleph. The Rebbe talked about this. So why? I mean, the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara seems to be a little bit of a stretch. And in fact, the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchot Kalim has a hard, he quotes Ma'ari Korkus, has a very hard time explaining the Rambam's shita, how the Rambam how the Rambam understands this whole piece. So yeah, reverses everything, and then we see that Ivan argues with him. The Rebbe explains at some length over there what forced the Rambam to say this, basically, is because Rabbi Eliezer, we have here Rabbi Eliezer against the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer is a member of Beit Shammai. The Gemara says in a few places, Rabbi Eliezer Shamusi. We find in a number of places, in fact, even at the beginning of the Masechta, this is the Rebbe connected the end of the Masechta to the beginning, we find that many times, and this is true throughout Shas, that Beit Shammai tends to look at the general thing of something, and Beit Hillel looks more at the details. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to look more at the generality of it, the outside of it, so to speak. The outside is gold or copper, therefore it should be metame. Whereas the Chachamim are going to have to hold then that you look at the details, the fact that underneath the gold or the copper is wood. And then it ever goes through, it's a long sikha that ever goes through examples from all Shisha Sidra and Mishnah illustrating this idea where Beit Shammai looks at the general thing of a halacha and Beit Hillel looks into the details.
So the halacha has to look at the details.
Yeah. So because the Rambam learned that way, therefore that forced them to reinterpret the whole sugya, and the whole previous sugya as well. Amar Rabbo, to finish off with some Agadta, Amar Rabbo, Tamar Chachamim ain ur shel Gehenim shelatas behen. The Tamar Chachamim, the fire of Gehenim, does not have any power over them. Kavachomim is salamandra. We can make a kavachomim from a salamander. What is a salamander? So Rashi says it's chaya nivris mina ur. It's a creature that's created from the fire. Kshaburin esh makamechad shevashanim tamid b'lihefs. You burn a fire in one place for 7 years continuously, then a salamander will come out of it. Tosfos talks about, Tosfos mentions that it's Targum Yonason translates, it uses that as the translation of achbo, which means that it looks a little bit like a mouse. In modern terms, salamander is some kind of lizard, but whatever. It was in those times it was known to have, as the Gemara was going to say, that if you smeared something with its blood, you were fireproof.
Yeah.
If you smeared yourself with the blood of this thing, you'd be fireproof. Okay. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, for example, that it mentions over there about Achaz, King Achaz, one of the Malchai Yehuda, was a terrible Rosh. He did all kinds of Avedis, including he worshipped many different kinds of Avodah Zarah, including the Pasuk says he passed his children through the fire for Moloch. As the Pasuk says, which, according to many Mepharshim, that would actually cause the child to be burnt up. So then the question is, how did he have a son, Chizkiah, to succeed him? And the answer is, the Gemara says, Chizkiah's mother smeared him with salamandra blood before his father took him through for this thing.
A lot of salamanders.
Well, I don't know. I guess they, yeah. Some Mepharshim say that it wasn't to kill them, it was just to pass them between two fires, but there are Mepharshim who say that it actually involved burning them. Maybe it wasn't Moloch, maybe it was a different Avodah Zarah, whatever it was. His mother had to smear him with the stuff for him to be safe. I saw a cute story also in Sefer Chassidim. He tells a story that one time a Christian brings a shirt, which he claims is a shirt going, it's all the way, it was Yoshka's shirt. And he says, you see what a kedusha it has. He throws it into a fire and it doesn't burn. The Rav takes it, he says, can I have it for a little bit? He takes it, he scrubs it with detergent or whatever, and then he throws it into the fire, and sure enough, it burns to a crisp. What happened? It was smeared with salamandra blood. That's why it was fireproof, not because it had any kedusha from Anyway. So, salamandra shatoldas eshi, so if a salamander, which actually comes from fire, like Rashi said, and hasach midama ena ursha letas boy, but yet a person who smears himself with his blood, the fire doesn't have any power over him. Tamir chachamim shakol gufan esh, the Tamir chachamim, where their whole body is fire, b'chtiv aloi koi dvara ka'esh ne'um Hashem, as the Pasuk says, aren't my words like fire, says Hashem, and Tamir chachamim's whole mitzvah becomes a tzerda. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so?
But how he could even get spoken about Gehinnom, right?
Yeah.
How the Talmud Chacham even gets close to the game?
It can happen, unfortunately, that a Talmud Chacham also falls through.
If he's Aisha, listen, he threw Wolf Aisha, means he is...
Okay, but it still happens, it still happens. No, but it can happen. Actually, let's finish first. Wait a couple more lines, and then I'll tell you the other half of that sikha that I was talking about, which is in Chelek Tzayin for Parshas Vayakel. Amar Shlokish, Ein Ur Shel Gehetav Shelatas Poshei Yisrael. The fire of Gehenim does not have any power over Poshei Yisrael, over Jews who did Averis. Here we're not necessarily talking about Tamar Chachamim. Here we're talking about simple Jews who did Averis, which Tosfos says, okay, we're not talking about Poshei Yisrael, but Gufan, like Hakafta or whatever, because that's a different thing. We learned in Rosh Hashanah that they have to spend quite a bit of time in Gehenim. We're talking about Poshei Kass, Tosfos says. A shtickle Avera, like. Why? Kavachomer Mizbech HaZahav. We can make a Kavachomer from the Mizbech HaZahav. Ma Mizbech HaZahav Shein Ela Ka'ovi Dina Zahav. The Mizbech HaZahav only had gold plating on it with only the thickness of a gold dinner, a very thin layer of gold. Kamashanim Eina Ursha Let Display. And yet for many years, day after day, they light the fire on the Mizbech HaZahav to burn the Ketores, and it never burned through the gold, and it never attacked the wood. Poshi Yisrael, Shemolei and Mitzvahs Kerimin, to the Poshi Yisrael, who even the simple Jews are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate, Dechtif, Kipelach HaRimon Rakotech, as the Pasuk says, in Shir HaShirim, your raka, which the literal meaning of raka is your temples, like this part of your head, is like a piece of pomegranate, but the drush is Altikrit.
Temple.
The drush is Altikrit Rakotech, El Rekonin Shabach. The empty one, even the empty ones of the Jews are full of mitzvahs. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that the fire of Gehenna shouldn't have any power over them. So in that sicha, the Rebbe talks about what's the two different things over there. Why do we need something separate for the Talmud Chacham and for the Poshei Yisrael? Why don't we learn one from the other? Why are we putting the Pashtus? We would assume we're putting this in because we're talking about the Mizbeach HaZahav. But then in that case, the Mizbeach HaZahav one should have been first before the Talmud Chachamim. Why are we bringing in this thing from the salamander? Akitzer, it's a longish sicha, but to give a couple of key points from it. The thing is, what are we saying? A salamander is after all it's a dover tummy. It's one of the Shemitah says it's one of the Shemitah Shratim. On the face of it, fire is the ultimate thing of tahara. The Gemara actually has an expression in Sanhedrin: Iker Tvilus Benura. The primary method of tefillah should be in fire. We human beings can't do that, so we do water instead. But we had earlier in the Masechta about Nahar Dinur, the fire, the river of fire that comes from the sweat of the Malachim, that the Neshamas go and have their Tara in on the way to Gan Eden. So fire is a thing of Tara, and yet we're saying out of a fire comes a salamander. So therefore, that expresses the idea that yes, you can have a Talmud Chacham who is full of Torah, called Gufei Torah, his whole Metzios of Torah, and yet, unfortunately, a salamander comes out sometimes. But we're saying, nevertheless, though, since his whole Metzios, the Torah is around him and in him, it's Sovev and Maskif, so therefore, Ein Ursha Gehenna B'Shalat Tisbay. The second one, the Poshei Yisrael, it's talking about they don't have Torah necessarily. They don't have the Levush of Torah, but they have mitzvahs. They're full of mitzvahs on the inside. So therefore, also therefore we compare them to the Mizbeach HaZahav because we're saying there's a Mizbeach inside. There's a Mizbeach inside every one of us. Although there's an order in the Mizbeach inside every one of us. There's the famous song Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. What's the lashon over Mishkan Mizbeach Osim? Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. The famous song, yeah. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. I'll build a Mishkan in my heart. It's from one of the writings of the Rishonim. I don't remember which one. But anyway. Maybe Orchis Chaim, I don't remember. Anyway.
Does Rabbi explain then what's seen over the fire? If it doesn't do anything to you, then what's...
The person has the fire of Torah.
So what does it do?
The fact that the person is in that fire is still something. Tosfos actually took... No, but it's still, you're still in it. It's not Sholet, it doesn't destroy them, but it's still, it has a certain effect. In fact, with the Poshi...
But in fact,
with the Poshi Yisrael, Tosfos talks about, there's a Tosfos in Erevin, because there's a similar Gemara over there, where Tosfos says the Poshi Yisrael, they don't get burned up in Gehenna, but their faces get blackened from it. But the Talmud Chachamim also, maybe their faces don't get blackened, but still they feel some effect of it. So then we put the Talmud Chacham in first, because for one thing, when they fall in is a more serious thing than when the Amei Aretz do. The Amei Aretz, the Poshei Yisrael, they didn't know better, the Talmud Chacham should know better, but that was the gist of it. Yeah, let's spin. Hadron Alachayim of HaKadosh, Shaslik Lom HaSechta Chagiga. Yeah, we'll
That's a new one.
Yeah, we'll start, yeah.